Good morning to you in church, and good morning to any watching online. I'm Jim. Congratulations too to those who normally go to the 10:30 who've managed to get up for this service. We're going to speak this morning about friendship, true friendship, and particularly the friendship between David and Jonathan, as in that reading. Many of us were at Leatherhead yesterday for the Church Away Day, when we were looking at how we can both attract people to St Mark's and go out to meet people, serve people for the Lord, and as a missional church. And part of this surely is friendship. I hope that we will make friends within the congregation. I hope some of our friends are here in the congregation, but also that we will make friends as we seek to bring people to the Lord. Friendship is valuable in itself, but if you care for someone as a Christian, what you want most for them is for them to come to faith in Jesus. And so that's part of our outreach too. There's been quite a lot about friendship, in a sense, in relation to our late Queen, who was very friendly, of course, respected as a monarch, but also very friendly to many people. In his tribute, President Macron said that Queen Elizabeth was a friend to France. I'm sure she was a friend to many other nations, especially those of the Commonwealth too. And the younger royals, I should think, saw her mostly as a, yes, respected, but friendly granny to them. Friends are important to us in ways that relatives and lovers or colleagues are all rather different. Friendship is a special relationship. Many verses about friendship are written on birthday cards, etc. You know, Patience Strong or Christina Rossetti or someone like that, about friendship. I've been blessed with a friend that I've known since we were both 8 years old. That's a few years ago. He wasn't actually my best friend in childhood, but has been a faithful friend over 65 plus years, and we still meet about once a month. I'm blessed by him and by that friendship. So let's go back to our series on David and his life. We last met David when he was still a boy, but he overcame the Philistine champion Goliath with a stone and a sling, but by God's help, as he acknowledged. Coming back from killing Goliath, David brings a giant severed head to the king, dripping with blood. I won't go in that way in case someone watching online is having their breakfast. So, watching all that is the king's eldest son, his heir apparent, Jonathan. And we read that Jonathan became one in spirit with David, this is chapter 18, and he loved him as himself. This is in some ways remarkable, as I say, Jonathan was the heir to Saul's throne, but at this stage, Jonathan probably didn't know, or may not have known, that God had chosen not him, but David to be the next king. So David was, in fact, his rival. Some will ask what kind of love this was, especially in his lament for Jonathan in 2 Samuel chapter 1. David says, when Jonathan and Saul have been killed, in a battle. David says, I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. Now, inevitably, in this age and before that, some people have said that this must have been a homosexual relationship. Well, I suppose in the end, only God knows whether it was or not. However, the text does not say that it was. And to regard it as homosexual may be a consequence of our modern post-Freudian tendencies to see all relationships as sexually based. And to underappreciate close friendships of a non-sexual kind. Perhaps words of Paul to Titus apply here. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. Well, David joins Saul's household as a young military hero and probably as a musician. Seems that Saul had forgotten that David had been in his service before the battle with Goliath, but Saul is a little bit mentally deranged, so it's not surprising he'd forgotten. Anyway, David joins the court and the household. And for a while, things go smoothly. Jonathan cements his friendship with David by making a covenant, a solemn agreement of friendship and love with him. And this is reaffirmed in a more solemn way later in our reading from chapter 20. He gives David his own tunic and robe and weapons. And presumably, Jonathan was less tall than his father Saul, because if you remember, Saul tried to give David his armor before the battle, and it was far too big for him. But maybe by this time, maybe Jonathan had grown a bit and, David had grown a bit and Jonathan's clothing fitted him. Anyway, he took it. This may have been an unconscious prophetic act on the part of Jonathan, showing that, saying to David in effect, all that I might have inherited, the kingship, etc., the kingdom, would be in fact David's, giving him his weapons, etc., a symbol of that. Friendships are sometimes a bit one-sided, aren't they? And in this case, Jonathan seems to have made the running early on. It's he who takes the initiative and proposes the covenant, both actually in chapter 18 and chapter 20. David may have been the less keen of the two, but he went along with it. Well, David became a very successful soldier with a high army rank given to him by Saul. Very popular too, more popular in the popular songs than Saul was. And this, of course, annoyed Saul very much. Saul became jealous of David and tried to spear him to the wall. There's quite a lot of spearing to the wall in this sermon, or attempted spearing to the wall. However, David evaded the spear, but Saul then sent him away on military missions, perhaps hoping he'd get killed, like later on with Uriah the Hittite. But David was again successful in his military campaigns and became loved by all Israel and Judah, chapter 18, verse 16. This made Saul even more jealous, and eventually he ordered Jonathan and his attendants to kill David. In chapter 19, Jonathan, of course, wouldn't do that to his friend, and he warned David about Saul's attitude. As heir apparent to the throne, it might have suited Jonathan if David were dead, but in his friendship and love for David, Jonathan, was unselfish. He's a good example of a good friend. He warns David, who goes into hiding. And Jonathan tries to persuade his father Saul that David is not his enemy. And for a while this works, and David is allowed back. David again suffers from Saul's instability. He becomes insanely jealous again after a while, and again tries to spear David to the wall, and again David avoids the spear. He becomes a fugitive then. It's not safe to be in Saul's court, so he becomes a fugitive, an outlaw even, but he remains friends with Jonathan. He persuades Jonathan, he needs to persuade Jonathan that Saul is trying to kill him, but that the king has hidden this fact from his son. When a festival approaches, David is expected to be present at the king's table. This must have been a time when Saul's temper had subsided, so Jonathan would have been welcomed back. But Jonathan doesn't trust Saul, understandably by now, and needs to know if it will be safe to attend the festival and the king's table. So Jonathan and Saul devise a plan for Jonathan to let David know if Saul is still angry with him, a plan which involves archery practice and an arrow boy, as we read. Meanwhile, Jonathan finds that his father is angry with him, his son. And again, Saul hurls his spear, just this time at Jonathan, who also avoids it. This time, Saul is seeing his son, Jonathan, as a shameful traitor to his family and endangering his son's future kingdom. So, by means of the arrow boy, Jonathan lets David know that David is still in danger. And the final scene in chapter 20 is a tearful parting of friends. It's interesting that David wept the most here. He's probably become more fond of Jonathan, but they knew they could not easily meet again. And in fact, we do not hear of Jonathan again in the Bible until he is killed along with his father Saul in a battle with the Philistines. So who comes out well out of these readings? Saul, David, Jonathan. So certainly not Saul. He continues angry, jealous, threatening, violent towards David and even at times towards his son. Tellingly, chapter 18, verse 12 says, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David but had left Saul. The Lord was with David but had left Saul. Let's consider Jonathan next. Well, Jonathan was probably a few years older than David. He was already a brave and victorious warrior by the time of the battle with Goliath. You can read about Jonathan's exploits in chapter 14. He's eager for friendship with David, and he loves him. He tries to be loyal to his father, but he seems to have known at some stage, whether David told him or not, about David's anointing by Samuel to be the king, the next king. But whether he knew that or not, he seems to have sensed that David, and not himself, would be the next king, and gets David to promise under oath that he would show kindness to him and his descendants. After Jonathan's death, David did indeed show kindness to, if I can say the word, Mephibosheth, the crippled son of Jonathan, as he said, for Jonathan's sake. Chapter 2 Samuel chapter 9. Well, Jonathan was a good friend to David, a good example of friendship, taking risks to help him when he was an outlaw, something that would have got Jonathan into trouble. A friend in need is a friend indeed, we say. Was Jonathan's friendship with David a betrayal of his father Saul? After all, Jonathan, as I said, was the heir apparent. And David was perceived by Saul as his enemy and rival. Did Jonathan then have divided loyalties? One would think so, at least in the early stages of David's conflict with Saul. Saul was his father, Jonathan's father, but David was his close friend. So a sort of conflict writ large, multiplied of the conflicts we get perhaps as children when our parents may not approve of one or two of our friends. So we're divided between the parents and the friends. Jonathan, as I say, probably had a sense that the Lord was on David's side, but he still fought the Philistines with his father and died doing so. In a sense, you know, Jonathan was like Jesus Christ in not grasping his father's throne and being a mediator between David and the king, just as Jesus is a mediator between God and man. What about David, the subject of this sermon series? Well, here he's a bit careful and cautious in being friends with Jonathan. After all, it could be dangerous being so close to Saul. He grew warmer towards Jonathan later as friendships develop. And as I said, he wept the more at their necessary parting at the end. David knew from God's anointing of himself through Samuel that he and not Saul's line would be the king. What does this teach about friendship to us? True friendship involves being loyal to one another, as Jonathan was loyal to David and he to Jonathan. It involves sometimes taking risks and enduring hardships for each other. Friendship is not always between equals. After all, Jesus is the friend of sinners. He's not our equal, because he's God made man. He is, though, our friend, with a capital F. But friendship respects the other commitments and relationships of the friend. Friends share their heartfelt concerns and their plans. As Jesus, in the Gospel reading, told his disciples of all that he had learned from his Father. So I leave you to judge them. God is the final judge, but to assess them, perhaps, the friendship, David and Saul. Let's pray. Jesus, friend of sinners, we thank you that David and Jonathan were good friends. Thank you for our friends. And most of all, we thank you for your everlasting friendship with us who believe in you. In Jesus' name, amen.